Ladies, I enjoyed that, didn't you? And you know, the amazing thing is there's so much truth to that song because God does want to move in your life. He wants to show himself mighty. He wants to do some special things. And you know, some of us need to just trust the Lord and sometimes just kind of put yourself out there a little bit. Extend yourself. Trust God. Put your faith to the test. I promise you, the Lord's not going to let you down. And he's going to care for you. Take your Bible tonight, if you would, and join me in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. And we're going to read verse 16 of 2 Timothy 3 all the way down through verse number 2 of chapter number 4. All right, 2 Timothy 3. Now, we'll give you just a moment to find your place while you're turning there. Remember, we're continuing in our studies on Wednesday night of the church in the last days. You believe we're in the last days? Now you fell for it again. We're not in the last days. Come on, folks. You got to appease me a little bit. We're not in the last days. We are in the last days of the last days. We're closer to the coming of Christ than the apostles were. So we're in the last days of what is the last days. So what is the church and how is the church supposed to be acting? What are we supposed to be doing in the last days of the last days? Well, we've learned in our studies that the early church and the various things that the early church went through. We're going to look at a little bit more of that tonight. But the church of the last days, that the spirit of the church of the last days, remember John described it as being lukewarm, neither cold nor hot. And he said God's not pleased with the spirit of a church that doesn't want to commit to anything. And the church of the Laodiceans had that type of attitude. They were very self-promoting. They were very self-satisfying. That was their focus. That was their motive, was themselves and about what was happening within the four walls of their facilities. Now, folks, let me say this. I'm not against programs within the four walls of our facility, but that is not what our motive is. That is not the message that we're supposed to be promoting. We're supposed to be promoting Christ crucified, who died, was buried, and rose again the third day, and is coming again. That's what we're supposed to be promoting. The message has never changed. And here in the last days, of these last days, we are not to change the message. We're to stick by the stuff. Let me show you to you. Let's stand together. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Does your King James Bible say all Scripture? All right, does that mean Old Testament and New Testament? All right, that means from Genesis to Revelation, right? All right, he says, now all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, folks, let me say this to you tonight. It's not my intentions tonight to stand and present a defense of the King James. That's not it. But what you have in your hand in your King James Bible is the living Word of Almighty God. It's God-breathed. It's inspired. And we learned Sunday night that the Word is Christ. You cannot separate the two, one from the other. You cannot love Jesus and not love His Word. You cannot love the Word without loving Jesus. They are one and the same together. He says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Takes man totally out of the equation, doesn't it? And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now here it is now. Here's what our commission is in these last days as a church. Paul says, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Here's the charge. Preach the Word. Did you hear what I said? He said, preach the Word. He did not say, be silent on the Word. He said, preach the Word in the last days. Because what people need more than anything today is they need preaching. Amen. That's what they need. So He said, preach the Word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now folks, listen, out beside your Bible, you need to draw a line out beside verse 3 and you need to put, we're here today. That's where we are. There will be a time when people will not endure sound doctrine, particularly when it comes to actually making sense, and particularly when it comes to dealing with sin, particularly when it comes to dealing with authority issues. People don't want to hear that many times in that day. He said, there'll day come. He said, but you know what your job is, church? Here's my charge. Preach the Word. Be instant, in season, and out of season. We're going to finish up what we started last week and down in from verses 16 of chapter 3 down through the first two verses of chapter 4. Father, meet with us now in our studies tonight. Would you bless us, help us, open our heart and our eyes to the Word and what you desire from us tonight. We'll give all the glory. We'll give all the praise to you in Christ's name. Amen, amen. You can be seated. You know, church, Christians that were alive and serving during the Roman Empire in the 1st and 2nd and 3rd centuries, probably because of the persecution, but probably because of the turmoil that they were in. Let me ask you this. Do you think, listen, they knew enough of the Scriptures. Do you think they may have thought they were in the last days of the last days? Oh, yeah, they thought they were in them. because of what was going on and how that they were having to, many of them, be driven out of the cities. And we know in the 12th century that they began to find their way into catacombs and live in caves that we know from the Scripture. I'm sure that all who have been persecuted from the time of Jesus Christ up until that the Dark Ages, the Inquisitions, those, they probably thought, listen, the Lord's got to be coming back tomorrow because persecution is hot and heavy. You know what they probably thought in their day? Oh, this is the days of Noah. That's probably what they thought. They probably thought, man, this is so bad, the Lord has to be coming back. Well, let me say this to you, church. Now that time has passed so quickly, and what we know of today as societal rejection of truth is nothing like what our forefathers experienced. Anybody chased you around lately as a Christian? Anybody chased you into a hole? Anybody here had to hide from people when you go out? Anybody? That's what I thought. But that's what our forefathers had to do. They had to sneak around at night and gather food for their families because being exposed in the daytime risked their own lives to do so. You see, those early churches, that in those early days, those early centuries, our forefathers experienced some things that you and I know nothing about whatsoever. Perilous times seem to be in their day as well as it seems to be in our day. Yet the Lord's tarried his coming. But see, here's what we got to keep in mind, church, that time to man and time to God are not the same. Yes, the time in their day, yes, it was bad. The time in the middle centuries, yes, the Dark Ages, all those things were bad. Hey, it's bad today. But can I say to you that time is only bound, man is only bound by time. God is not bound by time. Think of this. Psalm chapter 90, verse number 4. The Scripture says, for 1,000 years in thy sight are as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. A watch of the night was a third part of the night. It was 8 hours. Now listen, he said it like that to God. You know what time is like? 1,000 years is like an 8-hour watch. So folks, listen. That means that time to God is means absolutely nothing. Time is only, we are the only people bound by time. God's not bound by that. So those our forefathers in that day, if you just wanted to kind of get your mind and wrap around it, if you take from the first century to now, and all the times that have gone by, now we're working on 21 centuries have gone by. Now, if you take, and let's take the smallest of the numbers, you take 21 times 8, and figure out what that is, and that's a very short period of time that's gone by, if you, comparatively speaking, in years, as far as it relates to God. But for us, we're talking about almost 2,100 years. And we're thinking, man, that's a long time. What's that to God? That's a speck of dust on the seashore to God. Doesn't mean anything to Him. But yet, those that lived for Christ in those first centuries suffered a lot more than what we, you and I, have ever suffered. Now, in Paul's day, persecution was very evident. Matter of fact, if you'll go read his resume, have you ever read Paul's resume? Did you know that the Apostle Paul probably would not be called to preach or called to pastor today because of his resume? He'd been in prison too many times. Right? He'd caused too many uproars in cities too many times. Listen, if you looked at Paul's resume and the average church today opened it up and was going to call the Apostle Paul's pastor, look at it and say, man, fold that up. That guy's been in prison 4 times. And they wouldn't even consider it. But yet, you know why he was in prison? Because he was preaching the Word. And you know what he was? According to here, he was telling Timothy to do something that he himself had already done. He said, I want you to preach the Word. And we learned last week, he taught that we're to preach the Word and be instant, which means to be at your post, which means don't leave your position. Stay where you are. Listen, you know what most of the world needs today? They need a consistent message, folks. They don't need a message that's hopping around everywhere. They need a message that's consistent, a message that has proven itself through time. And that's what we hold to. We hold to the true message of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he said, be instant. Don't move from your post. And then he says, be instant in season. You know, there's always seems to be a season of harvest. You see, there always seems to be a season to where, boy, you know, when you go out and knock doors, have you ever been during those times to where you knock door and almost everybody, every person that you knock door talks to you and is favorable, talking, man, you lead a few people to Christ. Some people say, oh, listen, I'm glad you came by. I need the church to go. And you're like, man, God's on a roll tonight. That's the in-season times. But you're going to have a time where you're going to knock doors and nobody loves you. Nobody wants to listen to you. Nobody wants to talk to you. Listen, every tract that you hand out, they tear up and throw it in the air. You think, man alive, the devil's on a roll tonight. You see, there's times where you're in season and out of season. But did you notice the Apostle Paul said, it doesn't matter whether it's in season or out of season. He said, be instant. Don't move from your post. He said, preach the Word. Because the Word is Christ, and the Christ is Word, is the Word. So he said, be consistent. The world is looking for a consistent message. Now, let's finish our study tonight and go down, if you would, please. We're going to compare verse 16 of chapter number 3 with verse number 2 of chapter number 4, because basically there's some terminology here that are pretty much right in line with each other that that Paul teaches here about the church and commissioning Timothy. Wow, I don't know where that came from. Whip that out. But he said, listen, there's going to come a day where they will not endure preaching. They will not do it. He says, but you know what you do in that day when they don't want to hear it? You preach it anyway. Amen. You preach the truth. You tell it like it is. And by the way, isn't that basically what people need today? Just shoot straight with people. You know, I get so tired of folks beating around, but just tell me. Okay? If you don't like me, tell me. Don't beat around the bush. Don't reach around me and stab me in the back. Just tell me. I don't like you. I can handle it. All right? Let's just be straightforward. That's what Jesus was. He wasn't trying to hide anything. He was straightforward. He said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came straightforward with his message. So Paul tells Timothy, he said, I charge thee. Now, what we're going to look at tonight is the charge to the church in the last days. Next Wednesday, we're going to look at the challenge of the church in the last days. And then the next Wednesday, we're going to look at the call of the church in the last days. Well, let's look at it. He said, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. And then notice this word that I want to compare to a word up in verse number 16 of 2 Timothy 3. In verse number 4, or in chapter 4, verse 2, Paul says, be instant in season, out of season. He says, reprove. Now go back up to verse 16. There you see the word reproof. You see the word reproof and the word reprove? Connect those two words. I don't want you to jot this down. When he says preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, and then verse 16 says reproof, what he says this. When we reprove in our preaching, what we're trying to do, church, listen to me, we're trying to cut the light on so people can see. Because a lost man is in absolute darkness. He can't see. Listen, if you're in a dark room, some of you are afraid of the dark. I can tell it on your face tonight. When the lights accidentally went out a while ago, you're starting to look for the exits. Now, what I'm saying is a lot of people are afraid of the dark. So when they go into a dark room, what's the first thing they're looking for? Help me out. What are they looking for? They're looking for a way to cut the light on, right? They're looking because they know if they stay in the dark, they can't see. They're going to stumble on something. So when they go into a dark room, the first thing they're looking for is the light switch. He said, church, we live in a dark time. We live in a dark world. He says the church has to be there to flip the light on for them so that they can see the truths of the Word of God. He said, preach the Word, reprove, cut the light on so that they can see. You see that word reproof in verse 16? Now listen, if we're going to cut the light on, guess what we're going to do? We're going to reveal things, right? You ever go into a home? Maybe your home, I don't know. And you cut the light on in the kitchen and you see little things start running around. You know what? They don't like the light. And when you cut the light on, you know what the light does? It exposes things, right? It exposes the roaches. It exposes other things we won't get into. But it exposes things when you cut the lights on. Now, the thing about it is, listen, if you cut the light on, there's roaches running everywhere. First thing in your mind, you think, we got to find something to exterminate this, right? We can't have these. But as long as the light's on, roaches feel at home nibbling on your bread, right? Yeah, they feel at home getting in your canister. They feel at home getting in your cabinet. And you know what you need to do? You need to find some way to get rid of them. You know what the church's job is? Church's job is to cut the line on and reveal some things. You know what we have to reveal? Unfortunately, for most people, we have to reveal their sin. And listen, that's the reason a lot of people don't like church, because when they come to church, they tell me all the time, "Tim, preacher, why don't I like to come to church?" No, tell me why. Because every time I come, I feel guilty. Well, good. You ought to. Because that means you're up to something. Right? You see, the thing about it is, what I'm saying to you tonight, every time that I stand to preach a message, you know what I feel? I ought to feel some guilt. I ought to feel some shame. I ought to feel the things in my heart. Listen, if I was never convicted, I would feel terrible. That's the reason people don't like the church. That's the reason they don't like organized religion today. You know where they want to go? They want to go to a box church somewhere where the guy will get up and he's got his little microphone right here. He's got his open collar with his chain and two or three buttons unbuttoned here. And he'll walk around and tell you how good you are and how wonderful you are. And he'll tickle your ears and let you go home. And you know what? You'll start believing that mess. You'll start believing that you're actually good. And yet the scripture says there is none good. No, not one, not one person. And so the church's job is to reprove. It's to turn the light on. It's to expose the things of darkness. And then he says, reproof, we're to reveal what's wrong. You know what's wrong with mankind today? Sin. Now, you know what we got? We got a terrible problem. It's a sin problem. You know, and I have tried and tried and tried to stop it. Have you? I tried hard. And you know what I find out? I wake up every day and it's back again. It's kind of like, you know, you blow your nose and you take some NyQuil. Isn't that stuff good? Good stuff. My wife buys me. I tell her, I say, honey, I think we need some NyQuil. And she'll go buy me. And I go through about one every week and a half, 2 weeks or so, you know. I'm just kidding, folks. Come on, give me a break. Somebody told me, said, preacher, that's Baptist bourbon. I said, I know, and it's good stuff, too. Sure helps me sleep at night. Now, what I'm saying to you is this. What I'm saying is that, folks, that our job is to open or cut the light on. We're to cause the world, look at the condition that we're in. There's an answer. There's an answer to our problems. He said, reprove. And then he said, reprove. Reveal what's wrong. Listen now, church. This means the church must have a proven message, and it must have a particular message, and it must have a message that is consistent. You know what I find going door to door now, person to person? I'm finding people are sick and tired of changing messages within the Church of the Living God. And it's like, okay, the time changed. We roll over 2013, got to change the message because people don't want to hear the truth anymore. Well, listen, I'm 51 years old, and I ain't ever wanted to hear the truth with open arms because I never wanted to hear what was wrong with me, because I always thought I was a pretty good guy. Just like most people in here probably think you're a pretty good person, right? Until the preacher gets up and says, and the Holy Spirit said, better pay attention to that. Got some issues here. You're like, who, me? You talking to me? Yeah, you. You see, the message needs to be a proven message. It needs to be a particular message. Listen, folks, if we do not preach a proven message, a particular message, a consistent message, then what we're doing is we are giving people a false hope in their life. You understand? That's why people are getting sick and tired of organized, they call us organized religion. That's the reason people are hopping out of church left and right. Listen, where's all the believers tonight? Y'all know where they are? I'll tell you where most of them are. Out of church, at home, doing things. You know why? There's probably as many Christians out of church as there is in church, maybe more. You see, all I'm saying to you, church, is Paul said, preach the word. Be instant. Don't move from your post, because there is a day coming where they will not endure it. They don't want to hear it. But you know what you do? Preach it anyway. Keep cutting the light on. Keep revealing what sin is. Folks, listen to me. Our church must stand against sin, because it's destroying lives. It's destroying marriages. It's destroying our children. The church has to take a stand and a position and not move from that. He said, preach the word. Reprove. Reproof. Then look what else he says. He says, then he says, be instant in season, out of season, reprove. And then he says, rebuke. Rebuke. Go back up to verse number 16. He uses the word there for correction. Now, folks, listen. There's nothing wrong with correction. Rebuke means to press the issue. In other words, we're to cut the light on. We're to reveal the churches what sin is, what the scriptural position against that is, and we're to proclaim, you need to get it right. You need to get right about it. You're never going to be happy. You're never going to have the blessings of God until you make it right. Come in line with the Bible. The Bible was never designed for it to come in line with our life. It's always designed for our life to come in line with the Bible. Always. That's the reason Jesus, when he was talking about himself, he said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's it. One way, narrow way. And the church is to not only preach and reprove and reproof, but the church is to preach and rebuke, which means to press the issue. But listen now, but do it with compassion. Do it with a burden for people. Listen, you know what my desire is? My desire is for people to get right, not to leave, not to run away, but to make it right and get it right. Hey, listen, most people, instead of trying to get something right, for some reason they've got the idea that they can just run from it. You see, the problem is not outward. The problem is what's inside. Everywhere you run, you're going to carry the problem with you. He said, rebuke. Press the issue, but do it with compassion and a burden. And then notice up in verse 16, Paul used the word here, he said, for correction. That means, listen, if we're going to reveal, church, what's wrong and what is sin, then what we need to do, we need to explain how to make it right then, right? How to get it right. You see, doesn't it make sense if we're going to reveal things, if we're going to reveal what sin is, then we need to have an answer according to the Scripture. We need to have an answer for all men and be ready to answer all men. Then if we're going to show them what sin is, then we need to show them how to get it right. You know, it's the same thing when you go out witnessing. You show them for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Right? For the wages of sin is, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And boy, I tell you one thing, right in the beginning of that witness, boy, you're painting a pretty dark picture, aren't you? Oh, but we ain't got to the good stuff yet. I'm going to show them what the problem is, then I'm going to show them how to get it right. I'm going to show them that how to get it right is you cannot do this yourself. You cannot save yourself. You cannot work hard enough. You can't do enough things. You can't go to church enough. You can't be baptized 10 or 15 times and that do it. No, no, no. There's one way. And that one way is through Christ. He said, keep preaching the word. Keep preaching. Rebuke, he says, and correct. Not only reveal what's wrong, but we have an obligation, church, to show how to make it right. How do you get right about sin? You see, giving the Holy Spirit, we must give the Holy Spirit, I should say, the material to use in order to bring conviction and then bring a person to repentance. You know, in our day, repentance is kind of one of those buzzwords that people don't like to hear about that. But can I say to you, the first message, you know what Jesus, the first message, subject of his first message was? Here it was. Repent, or you shall all likewise perish. First message. Now boy, I'm telling you what, that hit you right between the eyeballs, wouldn't it? You see, you know why? Because he knew I must tell what the problem is, and then I must reveal how to get it right. You see, the person delivering the message, church, only has what little authority God has given him. He is simply the voice from which God presents the message of hope. You see, all we are, we have a little authority, and the only authority that we have is to preach the word. God does the convicting. I don't have any authority to convict. I can't convict. God can if I'll be consistent with the word. So he says, I charge thee, preach the word. He said, reprove. And then in verse 16, he said, reprove. And then he says, rebuke. And in verse 16, he says, correction. And then I want you to look at the next thing. Then he says, exhort. Exhort. That means this, church. That means not only are we to reveal what's wrong and show them, cut the light on, but we're to explain how to make it right, and then now we're to give an invitation so they can make a choice. And then notice in verse 16, he says, for instruction in righteousness. That word instruction is, listen, once we reveal what's wrong, then we show, explain how to make it right, then instruction, then we have to teach them how to keep it right. Now, folks, listen to me. You know, most conservative Baptist churches have a vision for souls, right? They have a missions heart, and they're very outgoing and very evangelistic. And you know, most evangelistic churches do a good job about going door to door, passing tracts out, witnessing to people, and confronting people. They do a pretty good job about getting those that they see saved and helping them understand from the Scriptures that the next thing they need to do is get baptized to identify themselves with Jesus Christ. But you know the thing that we seem to lack, and that is teaching them. Listen, we show them what was wrong, how to get it right, but then we don't do a very good job of teaching them how to keep it right. Okay, how do you stay right? How do you stay in line with the Word of God? Do you know that's the church's responsibility to provide opportunities for people to learn? You see, we are an ambassador for Christ. And as an ambassador for Christ, we must urge souls to consider the alternative. The alternative is without Christ. You see, they have nothing to lose but all to gain if they turn to Christ. So here's our job. Here's what Paul said. Preach the word. But what if they don't want to listen? Preach the word. But what if they decide, you know what? We're not coming anymore. Preach the word. He said, be instant. Don't move from your post. In season. Even when they like it, out of season, when they don't like it. Or when things aren't happening. He says, and what you need to do is reprove, rebuke. And then he said, exhort. Hey, let me show you how to keep it right. Let me show you how the Holy Spirit of God, when He came in, He is your comforter. He is your teacher. He is your guide. He said, exhort. And listen, here's the last two things. He says, now church, if you're going to preach the word, do it with reproof, rebuke, exhort. And he says, there's two things that have to be the flavor of it. Number one, you got to be long-suffering. Did you see that? He said, you got to be long-suffering. He said, exhort with not just some, but all long-suffering. You say, what do you mean? You're going to have to be patient. Not everybody's going to respond to the word, but some will respond to the word. He says, some are not going to embrace it right away, but they will embrace it at some point. He said, listen, you just do it with all long-suffering. Don't get impatient. You be consistent. By the way, who are we here to please anyway? The Scripture says if we're here to please men, we should not be the servant of Christ. We're not here to please people. This is an entertainment district, even though it says it right up here on the corner. We're not in entertaining business. You know what Trinity Baptist Church is? Listen to me. We're in the preaching business. That's what we are, not in the entertaining business. Do you know, I don't find anywhere in the Scripture, preacher, where Jesus ever commissioned the church. Entertain the Word. Entertain the people. Now, but I find a lot of places where he said, preach the word. He said, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort. Listen, church, with all long suffering. We're to be diligent. We're to be patient. Listen, the seed must be planted and watered before there is increase. Remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:6? Paul said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. You see, the amazing thing, Dr. Smith has been here, been down this road. It's amazing, preacher, isn't it? How that you can stand up and preach on a subject and very little response, and then a year later, another preacher come in and preach on the same subject and the altars are filled. You know why? The thing about it is you just threw a little water on it. He planted. The other preacher, all he did was just throw a little water. See, those people have had 1 year for that to stew. Right? And then the next preacher comes and throws a little water and they go, come down and think, man, they didn't do that. What's going on? It's just, listen, folks, it's all a total work together. But ultimately, God's going to give the increase. He said, so preach the word, be long-suffering. Listen, there's going to be inclement times and inclement weather along the way that you and I are going to face. But listen, folks, we're going to have to deal with it. You don't just give up. We're told in Scripture we're to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Well, look at the last thing that he said. I think this is very, very important. He said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering. Look at this last word. And what does your Bible say right there? Doctrine. Folks, listen. You know why that Baptist is going to stay on the sign out here? Because Baptist identifies us with a body of doctrine. Amen. You see, when you start separating yourself from a body of doctrine, then that tells me you're not sure what you believe. And that you may just sway any way that you want to sway depending on the times. And folks, listen, there is only one doctrine, and it's the doctrine of the book. He said, so when you preach, he said, you've got to mingle it, and you've got to make sure that your preaching lines up with the book. Hey, listen, what we preach, for instance, I was at Bible study yesterday with the seniors down here. Had a good crowd of seniors down at the recreation center down there, and have a little lady that comes there. She's a non-denominational person, and she comes, good lady, wonderful lady. So I got off on eternal security yesterday. And after it was over, I could tell she was sitting there. She was taking it okay. But after it was over, she waited for everybody because she said, preacher, can I ask you something? I said, yeah. I said, what is it? She said, were you insinuating that once you're saved, you're always saved? I said, yeah. That's exactly what I was saying. I wasn't insinuating. That's what I was saying. She just said, oh, okay. Just turned around and walked on. You see, the thing about it is, listen to me, folks. You know what Jesus preached? An everlasting salvation. He preached an eternal salvation. You see, our preaching must line up with the book. John 8:32, remember? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You see, our preaching, our message, everything has to line up with the book. You see, biblical truth, church, which can be validated by spiritual application and fruit. That's what we got to preach. You know, the preaching has to be validated by the book, not the book validated by the preaching. You hear me? You know, the thing about it is, listen to me, young preachers, and I want you to look right up here. You know, the tendency as a young preacher is to get a subject matter and a message and then go look for Scripture. That's the tendency. Why don't you go ahead and read the book, study the book, and then let the book give you the subject matter and let it define its own terms and give you the message of God. You see, we must have a message that's biblical. We must avoid man-made doctrines. Listen, opinions and preferences. We got to preach the Word. We got to preach it. Listen, it's going to be the truth that sets men free. Not your words. Not my words, God's word. All right, here's the charge. Church in the last days. Are we to hide? Are we to fold up? Are we to become internal? No. He says, here's the charge, church of the last days, of the last days. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Be patient now with all long suffering. He said, and to make sure that it lines up with the book. That's our job. Wow. Not bad for 51, huh? But that's the job of the church of the last. And listen, folks, that's our charge. That's what we have been charged and commissioned by God. What we're going to learn next week is when we do this, then we're going to be challenged. Okay, there's going to be a challenge that's going to come. We'll learn that next week. Father, thank you for the opportunity tonight to be able to study the Word of God. Bless the people. May our hearts be stirred with what we've learned tonight, and would you do the work in our hearts as you desire, please, please, we ask you tonight. Now with the head